Obviously has the Torah that I asked you to have, a Gemara Yevamis, a Gemara Kesubis. Sheet of Kubetzes and Kesubis, have a Shulchan Aruch, have an Ezra. Those are the Svarim that I asked you to see, and we're quoting from them a little bit in case you don't have all of them. It's, as we say, lo nora, but it'll be helpful if you have those Svarim in front of you. So we had a question. Those who have the Tosfos and Kesubis, if you have the Gemara open, please, Ayin Beis and Beis. We read this once before last week, but I wanted to show it to you again to review. Ayin Beis and Beis, the long Tosfos. Amanas she'ein olei nedarim. Tema l'ri, ma'iri amanas, while in the case in which he made a condition, you have no nedarim, a Tosfos really going on the sefer about mumim. Right? Moving is the second part of the Mishnah. I feel it bistam nami. Even if no condition was made, it's kedushe tos. So beperagaf al pigas vinan shalotochal arusa basisrael betruma. Why? Gzera mishum simpon. What does it mean, simpon? So let's go back. Those who have the Gemara. Nun zayin amud beis. The Tosfos gives you the source. Gzera mishum simpon. All right, take a look at the second wide line of the Zayin Mabez. Amahula, Dvar Torah, Arusa, Bas Yisrael, Achelas, Betruma, Shenema, V'Kohen, Kikin, Nenevesh, Kinyan, Kasbo, and I'm a Kinyan, Kasbo. So why not? Two reasons. The first reason we're not going into right now, the Gemara says, Mishum Simpo. What do I mean by, what about Simpo? And Rashi says, Simpon who's bittel. What do you mean? Simpon umum beisha is mevatel amekach kori simpon. Gozav Hashem yimtza ba mum v'nimtzu kiddushei tos v'betelim v'nimtza she'ochlo zara b'truma. She was never really married to the Kohen. Now here there was no conditions made. None. So you see that even if there's no conditions, it's a problem of kiddushei tos. So why is the Mishnah on Ayin Beis and Beis limited itself to a case of a condition? So Tosfos gives his own answers. I ask you to see the Shita Mekubetzes to see how he answers this question. If we actually saw it a little bit in the Beis Halevi, which we all had copies of last week, but I don't think I didn't open the Shita Mekubetzes yet. So now it's time to open up the Shita Mekubetzes proper and see how he contends with this issue. Okay. Find it here. Shita Mekubetzes, as you know, is an encyclopedic work. He quotes from many, many different people here. Hikshe b'Tosfos. Simple. U'v'chidushe rivash ksiv. D'yesh misha mechalek v'yom. This is very important. D'hocha b'stam mumin. To go and call our mumen, our poslin, the kohanim. This is a small mumen. It's enough to passel a coin from avoda. Simpon? No. Simpon is mumen gedolim. So therefore, what's the bottom line of this? If you made a condition, even mumen ketanim, which would passel a coin, would render the marriage null and void. Kiddushei tos. Not kiddushei tos. The lack of fulfillment of the tanai. If you made no condition, then you require mumim gedolim, which are the equivalent of what? Going bal polipus udekavasei. We've heard this name polipus before. Who remembers a polipus? Is found? Anyone remember? It's in the Mishnah, not Ayin Zayin. One of those individuals with whom life is so impossible with him that you will force him to divorce her. So you get an impression over here that any mum, which is a mum gadol, which rises to the level of you would compel him to divorce her if he developed the mum after marriage. If it was extant before the marriage and he didn't know about it, so then the kiddushin is kiddushei tos. We'll see soon what about the other way around. If it's a mum in him and a mum in her. But the case of the mum in her, which the Gemara is describing, in simpom, would be kiddushei tos if it's a mum godol. And Tosfos didn't give this distinction. Why? He gives pshat, he thinks why. Because they think that Nadronis It's a tremendous mum. There's no bigger mum than someone who takes the Dorim. I don't know where he gets this from. And therefore, he didn't give the Teretz Nazir. He disagrees with the Yisod of the Rivash. And he says, even no matter how big the mum is, still we cannot say the Kedushin is batal or mavutal unless there is a condition. V'harimi trani is a Tosis Rid. Rabbi Shani mitrani. Tiritz kitirutz shal rivash. And he quotes this verbatim quote. Again, this edition happens to be a separate paragraph. V'alai b'shar ha-mum gon hani d'tznan shekol ha-mum ha-posim b'kohan ha-posim b'noshim I asni alai hud lo ha-vekidushin b'stam ha-vekidushin. Some regular mum. Ava b'mum ha-mechu orim k'gon reach ha-peh v'reach ha-chotem. Where do we get that from? The same source, right? That's an ayin zayin. A mum said so bad that you would force him to divorce her if the mum arose after the marriage, etc. I feel a mistama, havi mekachtos, valayu ka'amru de chashinan mishum simpon. So two neviim, mistama misigna necha, the Rivash and the Tosis Rid, the Rimitranim. Does Tosis agree or disagree? The sheet of the Mikubetsis claim that Tosis disagree. The base layman says no, Tosis agrees. The reason why I didn't give this teretz is because these mumim are rare. They're so rare, we would not disallow every betrothed woman who is betrothed to a Kohen from eating truma because of the rare possibility of this happening. But that the fact of the Rivash and the Rimi Trani would be agreed to by Tosis. This is what the Beis Halevi says, in contrast to what the Shita Mekubetz himself said. Okay. Fine. Can we give examples of this? So now, after this whole week of discussion, I'm going to open up what I call, as we call, the secret weapon, which is a sefer called the Otzer HaPoskim. Now, the Otzer HaPoskim is a fascinating collection. It's a collection of works on Eben HaEzer, which was compiled by the Rabbonim, who originally came from Russia, and they had a whole group, and it was sponsored by Rav Herzog Zichron Levracha, Rabbi Zalman Meltzer Zichron Levracha. Those are the two primary individuals, and it was obviously a work which was critical to Klal Yisrael. It also provided a measure of substance for to sustain the Platim who came from Russia with no parnasa. So they all it was a win-win situation, and many volumes came out. It's still coming out. I can't tell exactly when the first one came out. I think it. Somewhere in maybe in the late 40s or early 50s, and it's still coming out. It's going on for 60 years plus. I believe they're up to Simon, I think Ayin Zion or something like that, which means that they're less than halfway through the Eben HaEzer. But all right, Mitzvah Hashem, another 60 years, that may have asked them, they'll finish the project. It's a 120-year project. Okay. So, but it's a wonderful project, and the volume that I have in front of me is called Volume 13, which spans Simon Lamed Ches through Mem Aleph. It came out originally quite a number of years ago. I have a second version, which is already itself over 30 years old. It's not a very recent sefer, but the Torah remains as fresh now as it ever was. And if those who want to really spend time looking this up in depth, if you look in Simon Lamed Tes in the evidence, I asked you to see a few svar, the Pischei Tshuva, Beishmul, and they have a much greater depth. It's what's called Sifkaton Lamed Beis, which is quite lengthy. And Sifkaton Lamed Beis, Tess, that's where we're going to, until now, he quoted the Beis Halevi that we had spoken about before, and this Sifkaton Lamed Beis is dedicated to the question of the Din of Shulchan Aruch. If you have a Shulchan Aruch, you can open it up, feel free. We were here before, Simon Lamed Tess, if hey, HaMekadesh Isha Stam, V'nim Soleh Echam in Amumim HaPolsim B'Noshim, V'nim Soleh Echam in Nadarim, Shaderach B'Neodim, Lakbar Aleim, V'nim Mekudesh Es Misafek. We saw Rava, right? This is Rava. The Mechaber passes like Rava. Fine. So Sifkot and Lamed Beis, if you want to take it from its entirety, from its beginning, starts on page Kuf Beis, which is page 203, if you will, in this work. And this one Sif Katan, Lamed Beis, goes from page 203 and ends, Rabosai, on page 238. Okay? So we're talking about something which spans some 35 pages. Just one Sif Katan, all about this. We're obviously not going to talk about all 35 pages here, but some of the highlights I will discuss with you. And some of them you can look up yourself when I give you the sources. Again, these are sources up to 30-something years ago. They don't include more recent sources, which, will, as we shall see, will be very, very relevant. Okay, so over here in Siman Lamed Beis, in Os Tes. Now, just to tell you how many Osios they have, it's subdivided into various Osios. Os Tes will begin with, and it goes all the way up to Os Chav Tes, I believe. So it's, I guess in theory, we skipped the first third, approximately. And then we're starting with Os Tes. What is the case of Os Tes? A very sad case. A woman who was not formed in a normal female fashion, and it's impossible for a husband or any man to have relations with her. Just, I guess they didn't have plastic surgery in those days. It's just impossible. So what kind of status does that have? They say over here it's worse than idleness. It's worse than idleness. An idleness, it's still possible for the man to have relations with this woman. Of course, she cannot conceive, etc., etc. She's, what we say, Isha Veina Isha. But at least on a physical basis, the man can have relations with her. Here, it was simply physically impossible, and they didn't have plastic surgery in those days. So then there are many poskim who suggest that's a mekach tos. A mekach never meant to marry such a woman. It's worse than idleness. She's ain't a ruya labia at all. You may recall we had a Ran in Ksubis, where we saw the Ran Senate of Kufalov was on the Mara Makomas. We actually read the Ran inside last week. And there we said that if a woman knew about her shortcoming, and she knew that the man would not be mispious by Mumen Uvin Adorin, as we saw that's a Mefurish Gemara, Rabosai, in Ksubas of Ayin Heim and Beis, and the Gemara speaks of an Adorim, Nadronis and Ayin Gimelim and Beis. So then the wife had no business hiding this problem from the husband, and for this reason she loses more than she would lose in another case. They're talking about Ksuba, Tosefus Ksuba, that's the context of the Ran. So Rabosai, I would like to open the Gemara Ksubas again, Daf Ayin Heim and Aleph, to show you an important piece of Gemara, which I think was a critical lesson, a critical message, which is a mega message, if you will. We have seen that some authorities maintain, Rav Henkin among them, contemporary Godel, lived in the Lower East Side for many years. He was considered the recognized posek of the Lower East Side for decades, and even after Rav Moshe came and became his neighbor, Rav Henkin was still, in many ways, the recognized posek in the Lower East Side. He said, you will not find anywhere in Shas any case of Kiddushei Tos without a Tanai. In the case of, even with a Tanai is a problem, without a Tanai, where there is a mum in the husband. And the reason he gives it is Tabla Mesef Tabdum Mesef Arunum. I like you, we've seen it here in Yevamos. I showed it to you, I think it's Kufiut Ches, I believe it was. But it's also found in Ksubis. If you open up your Ksubis, enough Ayin Hay. Again, we saw this last time as well, but I wanted to show it to you inside. The Gemara is the following case. The Gemara says, Rava Omar, by the 10th line of Ayin Heim and Aleph. Hocha b'isha chashuva askinon. D'yomah lo nichali d'itzir v'krovo sel. Aside from the fact that I don't want to be married to a woman who is a nadronis, even if the chacham will come and will undo the nadarim retroactively, so it turns out that the nadarim never really were effective, nonetheless, she has a habit of taking the nadarim. She hasn't kicked the habit. You'll say, what's wrong with that? If she maintains the habit, I'll divorce her. It's a big deal. Divorce is the sole prerogative of the man. We did it to Gemara. No. But she has very wonderful sisters. If she's going to be an Adronis, and then I'm going to give her a divorce, I will not be able to marry her sisters. Therefore, then my whole marriage to her is under mistaken pretense. Freck the Gemara by a woman as well. By a woman as well. It says in the Sefer. If he was a Nadron, and he went to the Chacham and he was Materit, so then she's Mekudeshes. Why? Let's say Eina Mekudeshes, because the Adam Choshev Askinon, and she'll say, Lo Nichali Litzer Bekreve. So that's when the Mashal jumps. That's the Mashal we read twice already in Shir. When the Mashal says on this Gemara, why are you focusing on this slight problem that she will not be able to marry his brothers? It's a much more profound problem. Namely, her husband will not give her a get. She'll be stuck for life. Because the get is the prerogative of the husband. So he gives a funny case which we don't really understand. Rabbi Reese, we showed it to him at the base marriage. He didn't understand it either. He was miskasher. He somehow tied himself up in a way that he's going to be forced to give her get if he continues to be a Nadran. We don't know how to do that exactly, but that's what the Marshal said. At least he's sensitive to the issue that she has much more to lose than he does. He, at worst case, if he divorces her, which he can do at any moment, will become prohibited to her relatives. She can be stuck for life if he refuses to give her a get, etc. So on this, the Gemara says, put aside the Marshal for the moment, as far as she being prohibited to his brothers, in case he becomes persistent in being a Nadran, on this the Gemara says, Tav the mace of Tamdim and the mace of Armu. And it goes on, the rest we saw already in Yevamos Kufyut Chesem and Beis. So is there an interesting Shitum Mekubetzes that I asked you to see? No, I have Charata. I was supposed to ask you to see. It's not on your Yevamos Kufyut Chesem. I apologize for this. I wrote it on my own list, which I have in my office. I didn't bring it in today. I'm sorry. You can look it up yourself later. Ayin Hey Omer Aleph. Those who are going to look up the sources in the Shita Mekubetzes anyway should certainly look this one up as well. Ayin Hey Omer Aleph. Oh. We need this. V'im Tomar. In Cain, it's called the Rush. Toss the Rush. If you have a sheet in front of you, you can open it up. It's Ayin Heyam and Aleph. It's the third or fourth new paragraph. It starts with the word Rava. In Cain, Afilo Eina Chashuva Nami Hoel V'Talia Milsa B'Hachi. So if he doesn't want that she have the Darim, Isha Tispasa B'Bezin, etc. Yei Shloma. Eina Chashuva Tzricha Get Me Suffolk. You know why? Hoel v'holcha eitzel chacham v'hitira. So right now that she went to the chacham and he was mater her neder retroactively, but she never really had a mum. She never really had a neder. Avo b'isha chashuva anan sadi. Magic words. We've had a Baba Kama Kufyud. Remember we had? Anan sadi. Dibitana koldahu lo nicha lei. The level kiddushin, ki hecha de lalitza mikrovosel lahachi gitan amir laboya. It seems, therefore, if you look very carefully, examine the Gemara carefully in Ksubas Ayin Hey, a distinction between a man and a woman with respect to tav lemes of tandum is not in a case where there's an actual mum. There is no mum here. There was a neder which was retroactively annulled by the chacham. It's only a combination of a possibility of maintaining the bad habit of Nidorin in combination with the Easter to the Krovim. So in this limited case where there is no mum, so then we say the man doesn't want, he doesn't want an Adronis and he doesn't want to be divorced and be us and to her sisters. And the woman in this limited case where there's nothing wrong with the husband right now, the Nidorin were annulled retroactively. Just a combination of a future habit of Nidarim plus a prohibition to his brothers. Small stuff. Then we say, Tav lemeis of Tandem lemeis of Amalu. So there's nowhere in Shas Babli where it says that Tav lemeis of Tandu would lead to a conclusion that a woman would agree to be married to a husband who has a mum. We said before, the Beis Halevi said, that she would be willing to marry a man with a mum katan, such as our Mishnah is discussing in Ayin Beis and Mizbeis, mum and benoshim, but not a mum gadol. If what we're saying is right, there's not even a precedent in Shas for a mum katan as such, because over here the neder was retroactively nullified. It's only the future possibility of nadron to combine with krovim. So there we say tavla mesa, if it doesn't apply to the woman, it only applies to a man. But we have no direct precedent to apply that principle to a case in which a man has a mum, certainly not a mum gadol, and perhaps not even a mum katan. That's what I wanted to show to you, that Tavla Mesa, yes, my Rebbe is correct, Kimei HaShemayim al Haaretz, but how we apply Tavla Mesa, we shouldn't get carried away and apply it in an instance in which the Gemara never applied it. Okay, just keep this in mind, the very important yisod, which I think we have to learn from the rush over here, as quoted in the Shita Mekubetzes, Ksubas Ayin Hei Amad Aleph, the very beginning of the daf, Dimamaschil Rova. So now back to the Ran that we saw last week in Shir, in Ksubas, on daf Kuf Aleph. So the Ran says as follows, once again, she had a disclosure obligation to disclose her mumim or to disclose her nedarim, because she knows two things. She knows about it, and she knows the average person doesn't like it, and the average person is not going to be mispiced. She had every obligation to disclose them. And not only that, since she had a disclosure obligation, he had a right to rely upon her and her lack of disclosure and the assumption that these problems did not exist. Contrast this, says the Ran, to Chayve Lavin, to what is only a matter of prohibition. There, the Ran writes significantly that she has a right to assume that perhaps Yerav Olav HaMekach, what do we call last time? She's blonde and blue eyes, and he'll like to be married to her, notwithstanding the Torah's prohibition of Chai Ve'lavin, and therefore she had no disclosure obligation. And therefore, says the Ran, there would be a Tosefes Ksuba. That's the Ran's context. What would be the din of Tosefes Ksuba in the case of a woman where there's no possibility of Bia, that we just started describing in the Otera Poskim? So those of you who have a Shulchan Aruch, Evan, as if you have it in front of you, if you're doing it from now on, people should try to bring it on a daily basis if you can. Simen Kuf Yud Zayin. This, again, should have been in the Makoros, but maybe we'll put on the next version. It's coming out soon. Anybody finishing the interview of the Maamar Makoros? Anybody? Okay, only one or two? Okay, well, in the next couple of days, it'll be... are you close to the end? Okay, so tomorrow or the next day, we'll have some more sources. Here in Simen Kuf Yud Zayin, Rabbi Osai. Sif Beis. Isha Shebniftikai Yedei Noshim. V'amu She'eina Ru'uya Li'ish. It's impossible to have beer with this woman. This is blocked up and there's no plastic surgery in those days. Ein lo ksubo v'lo t'nai ksubo. She gets nothing. No ksubo, no t'nai ksubo. Says the Beis Shmuel. The Beis Shmuel is the important commentary on Sifkot and Tes. He says as follows. It hurts. I want to tell you, we should never know from these things. There is a condition. My memory is not exactly perfect. I think it's called, I may be wrong, something called vaginismus or something along those lines. You can get it, find it on the internet. What it means is a woman has, it's partially psychological, partially physical. They go to psychology, they go to occupational therapists, and she just tenses up and it's impossible. The pain is excruciating. It's a disaster. But even that is considered comparable to islanders who's miskasha betashmish. It's hard for her. That's one case. There she has tosefes. She has a physical, there's no, the opening is just not big enough. It's an total impossibility. Then, ain lo tosefes. Why kaven the ain ruyah to be at all? At all. In other cases, she's ruyah. She'll overcome her pain. She'll take painkillers. She'll go to therapy, occupational therapy, psychology. But here, it's a physical impossibility. Again, they didn't have plastic surgery in those days. So then, there'd be no Tosefes Ksuba. No Tosefes Ksuba means that she had a disclosure obligation, and whenever the disclosure obligation argues the Otzer HaPoskim, if he didn't know about it, it's Kiddushei Tos. It's Kiddushei Tos. What happens if she had surgery? Nowadays, it can be surgery for almost anything. Plastic surgeons do a lot of interesting things nowadays. So let's turn our attention to another Tosfos in Ksubas. I hope you all have the Gemara Ksubas in front of you. We started Ayin Beis and Mid Beis. We're now going to move to Ayin Dalet Amud Beis. Please turn. You should be right here if you open to Ayin Hey. It's on the same page. Ayin Dalet Amud Beis. Where Tosis discusses the question of Chacham Oker HaNeder Meikoro. So since the Chacham uproots the Neder retroactively, it's different than a Mum. A doctor cannot cure a Mum retroactively. Okay, so what's the difference between one and the other? So he explains as follows. He says as follows. Sha'af ato li'acha shenisrapes. She's been cured by the doctor. He nim eses be'enov kishezocher shahoyu ba'mumin. Human beings have memory. Memory is not always a good thing. And the memory will remind them of her being disfigured or something along those lines before the operation. And he can't get that picture out of his mind. And as a result, there's not going to be a possibility for him to forget it and to be mispious. That's what he says. That's the situation which the Tosis suggests. Now, there were those, this is the case of Almanas, in the case of Mumim Ketanim. There were those who transferred the same paradigm to a stam case of Mumim Gedolim, as we saw in the Shittim Mekabetzis earlier. A stam case of Mumim Gedolim, is the ones that are found in the Mishnah of Ayin Zayin and Aleph. Just for those who have it in front of you, you can open up to see what I'm saying. Ayin Zayin includes what? Mukashchin Bal Polipus, and cases which Reach HaPer, Reach HaKotem, all those cases with the Gemara where you're Kofel Lagarish, those are what's called Mumim Gedolim. Therefore, the same logic may apply even if they were cured in a situation where there is a stam case comparable to the Tanai case of Mumim Regilim, or Mumim Ketanim. This is a discussion. But what seems to be clear, though, is that the person has to protest immediately if you want to consider it to be a case of Kiddushei Tos. This is, of course, on the Makoros. If you have, again, a Shulchan Aruch, please open it up. This is in Simen Lamed Tes, Rabbi Osai. Chelkos Mechokek Sifkot Tes. We said the final moments because we suffer. Says the Chelkos Mechokek Tes. Nire demari miyad kisharoa hamum makbit. Aksu roer. We're talking about the man. Ve'eno chafetz ba. Avolim shosei kishenorla hamum v'lo hista b'tchila after tzavach lebesof avikidushe vada. Even though there was a significant mum, if he didn't protest immediately, then we say it is Kiddushei Vada, because we call it Sava Vekibel. He apparently accepted it. This is what the Chelkos Mechokek says. Not everybody agrees that it's true in these kinds of cases. Again, the Otzer HaPoskim is the encyclopedic work which discusses these things. Here in Simen Lamed Tes, Sifkoton Lamed Beis, in Os Gimel, he first quotes the Chelkos Mechokek, and there are those who disagree. Maybe, since he didn't know about it at the moment of Kiddushin, he can be quiet, and later on, at the time of the Nisuin, he will not go through with the Nisuin. There's a discussion over here, which is not relevant to us. Why not relevant to us? Because as you well know, we do Kiddushin and Nisuin at the same time. But nonetheless, there is a discussion over here about this issue. Fine. But now I want to get to Os Yud. I'm going to try to go a little bit in order. We jump back from Tes to Gimel. Now Os Yud is reminiscent of what we saw in Rav Moshe's Tshuva, if you recall, in Chelek Aleph Simen Pei. In Chelek Aleph Simen Pei, Rav Moshe discusses the following case, as it's described over here in Otzer HaPoskim, again, in Os Yud, she's miturefes mishuamemes or nichpes. After the marriage, he found an adivrei shtus. So there are those who say, even if she's not a shota gemura, not capable to even enter into kiddushin, unless it's a mum sherov. This is the word. Sherov b'nei Adam makpidim alav. And it's a mum, and the entire marriage is bottom. That's what's suggested. Quoted, Hagri mikovna. Hagoyin Rav Yitzchak Elchanan, after my yeshiva is named, who was the Rebbe of Kovna, taught to compare financial deals to Kiddushin deals, and as a discussion back and forth in these kinds of situations, what is the halach? Again, we're discussing about a mum in the woman. We haven't gotten to a mum in the man. So it's the majority of makpid, so that we can argue that ainu mekudeshes, and since it only exists occasionally, it's not a mum goloi. Those are sort of the Gemara and Ksuba say, if it's something which can be checked out in the merchats, the mum goloi, you can't claim tos because you should have checked it out. This is not a mum goloi because it only comes and goes here and there, and therefore there's no way for him to possibly check it out, and therefore we can argue it is a kiddushei tos. And mishua memes, what is mishua memes? I mean, she's not a full shota, but she's conducts herself in an unusual situation. This is a mum, Rabosai, even if occasionally she can remove this, maybe she can take medicines or she can get out of the bad mood, nonetheless, it's considered to be a toast. Where does this come from, Rabosai? It comes from a Rashi. Look at Rashi, if you have a ksubas in front of you, Ayin Hey Omen Aleph, the Ramaskal Vareach. Very, very important Rashi. Ayin Hey Omen Aleph, the Ramaskal Vareach. Vireach hapeh, aval gabe isha shu medaber imo kosho lo efshar. In other words, reach hapeh, sometimes you can get around it, you take certain medicines, so you're not around all the time. But a husband and wife, not like a kohen. A kohen comes, does his work, so when he comes, does his work, he'll use Listerine, he'll find some other way to get out of his reach hapeh, and he'll be able to do the service appropriately. When it comes to a married couple, she has some kind of unusual reich hapeh, they're together all the time. It's impossible to always be medicated. That's what the Gemara suggests over here. So too the poskim say when it comes to this shtus that this woman has here and there. True, she's not a shoter 24/7 all the time, but there are periods when she is a shoter, and you can't tell the husband, well, at that time don't go near. What do you mean, husband and wife? They're always near each other. So therefore it's arguable, it's considered to be a case of mekach tos. Of Mekach Tos. Fine. Now. Let's look in Pischei Tshuva. I think we saw it once before. We'll see it again. In Sivkaton Dalad. Again, whoever has a Shulchan Aruch, just to see it again, because we're doing a little Chazar over here. In Simen Lamed Tes, Pischei Tshuva, if you have it, Sivkaton Dalad. On this dinner, Shulchan Aruch Sefei, Hamakarish Ish Nimtzala Mumin, etc. Sosavim Mekudeshes. Quote the Noda Yehuda, a Grusha says she was an Almona. Did we read it together? I think we did. Who remembers? What's a good memory here? We didn't read it in Shir? Maybe not. Okay, then we'll have to read it more carefully. I thought we read it once before. A Grusha says she was an Almona. Vinises Lekoin, a Chutzpah. A chutzpah, a divorced woman, prohibited to a kohen. She told him she was a widow. Wow, it's terrible. How could she do such a thing? She was in love, okay. Kshenis vada la kohen she grusha borach mimena. He ran away from her. V'nicha yosheves galmuda koroila. She deserves it. Wow. Wow, the rabbis are going to patch out at this girl. All right? Umeis ha-kohen baderech. Nebuch the Kohen died. Maybe he died from aggravation. Velo ach yosemi ben shivim. His brother was more than 70. Velo no da hechanu. And we have no idea where the brother is. V'aisha yoshemes aguna zeyamim rabim. So even though she did a bad thing. She duped the guy into saying she was not much really good. But still, she made one mistake. She had guna her whole life. So the Noda Buddha says, Kiddushe Vadai, hey. The definite Kiddushe. Kiddushe Vadai. Vadai. Why? Tis agen v'teshev adivoda davaboro me'ayom. Too bad. Kiddushe Vadai. Why should that be Kiddushe Vadai? He thought she was an almana. She was really a grusha. How can it be? So nonetheless, he says it's considered to be Kiddushe Vadai. That's amazing. Why? So we saw the Chazon Ish said what? We can't say for sure that if someone told him at the last minute that she's a grusha, he'd walk away from her. He's in love with her. So therefore, we have to let her be an aguna, unfortunately, this kind of thing. Although she brought it on herself a little bit, still a rachmanis on her. It's considered to be kiddushe vadai in this case. Wow. This is what the Pesachet Shul writes over here in Simon Lametes. Sif Katan Dalit, in conjunction with the Ram we saw earlier. With that Ram, she taught us Arav Olav HaMekach. Oh. However, the Rambam said there are those who are not convinced that the Ram applies in every case. And I'm going to now read you from Os Yud Gimel. Yud Gimel in the same Sif Katan in Pesachet Shuva. Os Yud Gimel. Is it Shuvas Malbushe Yomtev? You have any idea who this is, Malbushe Yomtev? They called him, I believe, his name was Rab Yomtev Lipa from the Mir. They called him Rab Lipa Mirer. That's how my Rebbe referred to him as. One of the Gedolei Apostolim of Lithuania, the previous generation. But his name Malbushe Yomtev. He knows about the Ran. I believe he knows everything. He knows Kol Torah. But he also knows the Ran. He makes the following suggestion. The Ran says, is referring to a case, Rabbi Osai, where she came from far away. We have no idea of her personal status. And he didn't bother to ask. Didn't ask her. So she, this gorgeous, blonde-haired, blue-eyed woman, feels, with some measure of correctness, he loves me because of my good looks. He didn't even bother asking me. I'm an almana, I'm a grusha. Didn't ask anything. He's kohen gadol. He should have asked if I'm an almana or not. Didn't ask me. Clearly, he's so in love with my good looks that that's going to marry me anyway. So therefore, she has no disclosure obligation. No. Fine. But, Rabbi Osai, says the Malbushe Yomtev, if a particular girl has a chazaka of being a basula, everyone knows her as being a woman who was never married before. And it turns out that she is an almana for a Kohen Gadol or a grusha to a Kohen Hedjot. Claims the Malbushe Yomtev, in this kind of a case, Eina Mekudeshes. What a big chiddush. I read you the Lashon inside. The Ran's referring to a case, Shebo Meir Acheres Lohoyo Olea Shum Chazaka Klal Mahi. V'gam Hu Lo Chokar V'lo Dorash Acharei Klal. V'gam Himeno Lo Shol V'kitchestam. We say, you know why? Why didn't he ask? He knows he's afraid to. Hey, he's afraid to get bad news. Or a balava mekach af biyisur. But if she's muchzekas beir, she besula. Rishlo neskatsha meolam. V'al smach hazaka zu kitsha v'kinsa. In that kind of a case, he thinks that there'd be no requirement for her to pay a ksuba, tosefas ksuba. And Rashi, we saw the Rashi kufal mebeis hit also. She fooled him. Says Malbushe Yomtev, not she fooled him with her mouth. She fooled him. She said, "I am a besula." She's really a grusha. No, who I think she becheska shalon eskacha, havi ki ilu chokar also vihit also, came on the samach amashem muchzekas beir lo posha amashem lo chokar. Im kein vale the mum the yisur. In that case, havi mum lechule alma, and therefore he suggests that the marriage would be no marriage. Wow. A chiddush over here in the Malbushe Yomtev. This is a similar to a case which is quoted over here, again, in the same Os Yud Gimel. Do you need to get at least with Rabbanon? Yes or no? He quotes the Achi Ezer. Who wrote the Achi Ezer? Rabbi Osai, who wrote the Achi Ezer? Well, no. Rav Chaim Oizer was a Gadol Hador in pre-war Europe in Vilna, and it's in Simen Chav Zayin. Achiezer Simen Chav Zayin. I have here the Achiezer, and see what he says. These are all cases which really happened. didn't make up any stories over here. This really happened. Simon Chav Zayin. The following case from America. This is written in 1911. There weren't such, you know, Rabbanon like Chaim was in America in 1911. They wrote to him. What happened? They made a shidduch for Isha Grusha with an alman. She asked him, "Are you a Kohen?" "I'm not a married Kohen." He said, "No, I'm not a Kohen." He lied to her. As soon as they got married, she discovered he's a Kohen. She started screaming chamos against her husband. Why did he fool her? And they agreed to go to Beis Din to give her a get. On the way to Beis Din, you're at the movie, right? He ran away, never to be seen again. It's more than 5 years. What a tragic case. America, the Wild West, 1911. So Reb Chaim Herzl says as follows. Look. The Ram would agree that if he mamish fooled her, that you would not require a get. You don't apply tavla mace of tandu. You know why? She's not a libidim. See, she wants physical company. That's what the, but if you look at the watch, she's not allowed to. The beds will separate them. So therefore, Reb Chaim Herzl wanted to pass him that perhaps she would not require a get. And he quotes the Noda B'Yehuda at the end of Simon Pei, which we referred to earlier, who says it's Svar of the Marashal, that she's much worse off than he is. He can divorce her whenever he wants, we did in the Gemara, and she can't. So she would never have agreed to marry him in such a circumstance. So suggests Reb Chaim Herzl. But the truth to be told, although Reb Chaim Herzl does suggest this, he has a phrase over here in the middle of this lengthy tshuva, Hinenu megashashim bazeh ki iver ba'afela. Chaim Herzl was not known to be indecisive. When it came to these matters, he said, "Ooh, he's still a little scared to be matter in this kind of a circumstance. This kind of a circumstance." Certainly, as the Pischech, as the Otzer Apostle says in Os Tesvav of this Sivkot Lamed Beis, you would not apply the principle of an Adam Osa Bilas of Bilas Nus. Why? He doesn't want to be involved in a B.S. Isser. Fakert! Here it is a B.S. Isser. Here it is a B.S. Isser because a Kohen may not live with a Grusha. To the contrary, according to Shitas HaRambam, we're not going into it in detail now, according to the Rambam, Chai Ve'Lavin only get Malkus with Kiddushin. So therefore, Fakesh is better off not being married if she wants to avoid an issue. So this is what is his state. Ad Kan Rabosa. So I mentioned to you that there are 29 subsections in Sivkot Lamed Beis. We finished the first 15. That's more than half in describing the din of a mum and the woman. We try of equality. We now turn our attention to the much more vexing case of a mum and a man. I already told you in Shas you won't find it. But we have to analyze it anyway. So the first citation over here at length in Oz Tezayin is the Beis HaLevi. That's not the first thing he quotes, but we saw that Beis HaLevi inside. He quotes it at great length here on page 218 and 19. He quotes a whole page from the Beis HaLevi. I'm not going to repeat what we saw. The Beis HaLevi said that all it means, I'm not going to take a look, just I want to, look again in the last line on Kuf Yud Chesed Beis, just to refresh our memories a little bit. The last line in the Perek on Kuf Yud Chesed on the bottom of the daf, Kulon Mizanos Vitolos Bebaaleim. That's the Beis HaLevi, Chas V'Shalom. There's a cheskas kashrus, Rav Noshim Ksheros. I mean, there's a possibility. Once the possibility is no longer in a non-sade, that she doesn't want to be also to his krovim, chashuvim, in the case of a niskashel linnadron. There's a possibility that she wants. We explain it only if there's no mum. That was our chiddush we said today. Right? Fine. Then he quotes the Beis Halevi. We saw this already in Shir last week also. Now, though Tosis and Baba Kama Kuf Yud distinguish between the Erisin and the Nisuin, that's only on a Tanai, but not Bitos. Not Bitos. You may remember that the Beis Halevi himself never gave a firm answer to be lenient. He said, it's the Rabbanon, it's only a Suffolk, Rabosai. But he quotes over here in this piece from Igros Moshe. Igros Moshe was already out, the first Chelik of Igros Moshe. Chelik Aleph Simon Ayin. He doesn't mean call Chelik Aleph. It was only Chelik that was out at that time, apparently. Simon Ayin Tess quotes the Beis Halevi, etc., etc. The Rav Moshe quotes the Beis Halevi, which is in due turn quote over here, page 220. And they wrote to our poskim towards the end of Os Tess Zion. But then he quotes, there were those who say it's impossible to ever have Kiddushei Tos in the Mum in the man. Even those that Yekofen also Lahotzi, Polipus, Mukashchin, Reach, etc. Why? The famous words, Tav Lemesav, Tandem Lemesav Armam. And he quotes the Beis Meir, he says it's Kiddushei Vadai. Vadai. What's the proof, Rabosai? The Mish that I already showed you a few times in Ksubis, Ayin Beis and Beis. We read it twice already, the last line in the Mishnah. What's the last line of the Mishnah? The last line of the Mishnah, Ayin Beis and Beis and Ksubis is, Kol Abumim HaPoslim B'Kohanim, Poslim B'Noshim. Didn't say B'Anoshim, only B'Noshim. That's the proof, the Chumrah that's given by these Gedolei HaPoskim, who deny Kiddushei Tos in any Mum in the husband. The other Poskim would disagree, say no. It's only by Mumim Ktanim, which Pasal HaKohen, Mumim Gdolim, the likes of which we read in the Mishnah 5 Dapim later, on Afayin Zayinim and Aleph, which are so significant and severe, that the halachas you force the husband to divorce her, such Mumim are Mumim not only with respect to Nashim, but with respect to Anashim as well. Vihoraya, we force the husband, if it develops after the marriage, to divorce her. So if we, in any such case, if it developed before the marriage and it was hidden from her, then we can argue Kiddushei Tos. That's what many of the Gedolei HaPoskim said. Oh. Fine. Anytime she fooled him. What do you mean she fooled him? It's a little tricky how we define that she fooled him. She fooled him when it comes to a major mum. So I mentioned there's a saying called the Yad David, Rav David el Karlina, whom Rav Chaim considered to be the God of Ador. He said as follows: Kol amumim de kaimalon de nodu olach anisu and kofon hotzi, whoever is listed in the Ayin Zayinim and Aleph, harayim hoyu kodem anisuel, and he didn't know about it. Not sure he didn't know about it. V'lo hoyo bi efsherusa shetelah, and she didn't know about it. She had no possibility of finding out. Shakidushin Vitalim. Based on Rashi Baba Kama Kuf Yud, but like the base as the Beis Halevi said. So Rav David el Karlina is on the side of Rav Moshe that Kiddushin Vitalim. The Beis Halevi himself only said that Vitalim Midoraisa, Vitalim Misafik. Rav David el Karlina, whom Rav Chaim, the Beis Halevi's son, was considered the God of Ador, he went out on the limb and says, Kiddushin Betelim, no get is required, and if we try to get one if we can, and she's Muteras, Sinase, Beli, get. If it's Mumim Gedolim, which was again to quote for the third time, Flo Hoya Be'ev Sharusa Sheteda Me'ev. That's a critical point. Because otherwise, if she could have easily found out and she didn't bother finding out, I mean she was in love with him, and she would have married him anyway. Still what we spoke about earlier. Good for the goose, it's good for the gander. Kipshuta. So it works in both directions. He has leveled the playing field. The Rav David el Karlina, the Yad David, in the same way as the Kiddushei Tos, if he couldn't have known it about her, and she hid it, it's Tos. So too, if she couldn't have known it about him, it's also Kiddushei Tos. This is again quoted over here in Siman Lamed Beis, Os Tes Zion page, Kuf Yudot. Or 219 from the Yad David. Oh, Now we come to the next case. This is a much actual case. The man was unable to have bia, as it's called in the Lashon of Chazal, Elo Gvura Sanoshim. Impossible, nothing worked, no medicines worked, nothing worked. So these Gedolim said, so what? She'd still want to be married to him. What? Yes. She'd still want to be married to him. Why? Isha Bekoldu Nichola. Bekoldu. There's a Rashba that's quoted by the Beis Yosef and Simon Kuf Nun Zayin, who quotes the Gemara Ksuba Stav Ches. I showed you this already before. Hakol Yodim Kala Lama Nichlas of the Chupa. Everyone knows that when a couple gets married, the Kala goes for the purpose of Bia with her husband. And therefore, on that basis, they argue that if the husband is incapable of having Bia, then she went into the Chupa under mistaken pretense. Perhaps we can view the marriage as being null and void. They say, no, that's only true that we can force him to divorce her. That far we'll go. But to say that they're not married at all, that far we're not willing to go. Many of these Gedolei HaPoskim say. We don't have any precedent for it in Shas. Oh, there were those who say, it's true that in the case of the Rashba quotes from the Beis Yosef, the Beis Yosef quotes from the Rashba, we force him to divorce her. But that's only because the weakness in the man came about after the marriage, after the Kiddushin. So there's no Kiddushin Tos. Had it come before the Kiddushin, perhaps he would not be married from the beginning. There'd be no need to force him to divorce her. They were never married. That's found in the footnote Nun on page 222 here in the Otsar HaPosk. As a matter of fact, those who say it's Nichola, you know why? For one of two reasons. The very nefarious reason, the last line of Kuf Yud Ches Amud Beis, Kula Mizanos V'Tolos V'Balein, because nobody knows that her husband is incapable of Bia. Alright? So he can't provide her with this satisfaction she desires. She'll have a boyfriend. And if she becomes pregnant, great! People assume it's her husband's child. That's the nefarious reason. But there are other less nefarious reasons, which is suggested over here, again, in Os Yud Zayin, that she'll at least have what the post can call over here, quote, Chibuk v'nishuk v'derech eivorim. Well, I'll give a literal translation. Hugging and kissing and being together with the rest of their limbs, with their bodies, without actual bia, that's also something, no question about it. As a matter of fact, the Ramban and Chumash and the Pasuk of She'era Kesusa Vanasa Lo Yigra says that She'era means exactly that. It means physical contact without actual bia. So she never, of course she would love to have a husband who could do bia. He can't. Alright, the provider with some physical satisfaction. So therefore she would say Isha Bekoldu Nichol. That's what some Poskim say over here in Os Yud Zayin. Rabbi Yitzchak Elkana says no, impossible to say that. Because if that were true, that a woman would have satisfaction in this situation, which would allow her to stay in the marriage, then it would be impossible for us to force the husband to divorce her, which we do, in the case of Ein Lo Gvura Sanoshim. Why? Because if we can assume that there's a possibility that the woman is satisfied in the marriage, then why is she want out? Ha! She met a guy who was more tall, dark, and handsome than her husband. Rachman al-Islam. So she wants out of the marriage, so she'll blame on the fact that Ein Lo Gvura Sanoshim, which is really not enough of a reason because she's satisfied with other types of physical contact. The mere fact that we forced the husband to divorce her, says in Rabbi Yitzchak Elkanan, indicates that we say that, he phrased it twice, no woman would want to be in a marriage where her husband is incapable of bia. And then he says, in a different phrase, most women would not want to be involved in that marriage. So it's Eina Mekudeshes. We do not apply the principle of Tav L'Meisav. We only apply it in the situation of a man who is Ein Kofanos Olahotzi, Mumim Ketanim, not to Mumim Gedolim. Of course, the question becomes, how does Rov help over here? Rov could be 51%. Does he mean any Rov? So maybe he means a Rov Gadol, with the Mir Zeno Motzi, less than 10%. Or maybe he means that the Rov is when we analyze the situation abstractly. But once she screams and yells, I can't handle this kind of a marriage, so she is believed to say that she is part of the Rov that cannot live in such a marriage, and therefore becomes sort of a certainty that it's a Kiddush Etos. I'm not sure which of the two Rabbi Yitzchak Chanan had in mind. Rabbi Moshe discusses this very same case. That's his first case of Kiddush Etos. Is Ein Lo Gvuros Hanashim. We'll say in today's world he's impotent. He cannot have a Maisa Bia at all. And nothing helps. None of the medicines, zero. Nothing helps. And Rabbi Moshe writes along the lines of the Ein Yitzchak. And he says the miut of women who would be satisfied in such a relationship is Eino Matsui Klal. Now, why would she be satisfied in the relationship? But all Rav Moshe says, money. Yeah, she's an impoverished woman. And now she's a rich husband, so she'll be rich. She has no satisfaction of beer, which is, that's Hakol Yom Kamal. No. But he treats me well. Good clothes, vacations, a nice house. Yeah. So perhaps he calls it Mir Chen Amatsi, which would be satisfied with this. He says it's even less than a Mukeshchin. It's even less than an islandess. And then he throws in the following factor, Rabosai. He says, Rabbeinu Tam requires a get. In the case of Ireland, it's called the one version of the Rabbeinu Tam. You know why, he says, Rav Moshe? Because biyado legarsha. It's within his ability to divorce her. And therefore, no big deal. He can be remained to her. Rav Moshe's position is quoted here on page Kuf Yud Gimel, which is called page, we call 225. A whole page about this in Rav Moshe. And he says as follows. You're not going to believe this. It's not believable, but I'm going to read you right now in view of our earlier shiur. He says as follows. The minority is pretty small, like an isha shenitpa b'mayim she'en lehem sof. This morning shiur. And he quotes a tshuva that we learned together, those of you who came to the shiur earlier. I quoted this very tshuva. How do you get out of the Tosin and the Yavamas later on? That for those who weren't there, you can look right over here. Just look. If you're in Kuf Yud Ches where I am, just turn a little bit. You can see it in the Gemara right over here on Kuf Chof Aleph Amun Aleph. Kuf Chof Aleph Amun Aleph Rabosai. That's what we learn in the Mishnah. Nafal Lamayim Shein Lemsof, etc. What about Tzuva Merabonon? Where Tosin says, Velohi, Afagav the Rubayu, the Tzuva Merabonon, Isolakol, it says it's a second row that had he been. Come out the other side of the water, it would be well known because it's a famous Rav. Doesn't matter. We don't combine the two Ravs. At the Mefurash and Gemara, you don't combine the two Ravs. I have Chaim Allah in the Paskin that you do combine the two Ravs. Rav Moshe refers to what he said over there. It's different. It's a Mir Tamatsui, Mir Che'en Amatsui, without going into all the details. It's Eishes Ish, Ovet Zichro. They shouldn't be nosim the devar of the shiur, but it's not the same as mumim gedolim. Shegam etchila ena metzuyim klal v'ein mokom loma shiyigzru af michumer dieses ish. And we don't even know there's even a mir shena matzui she tisratze isha tzeira lihinase lemisha eni odel eno yochalivo. If the woman is 70 and her husband can't do beer, no, she's 20. 20, with all the hormones, everything. She's going to want to be married to a man who can't do a ma'aseh bia? No. Men don't need a mir shena matzui. How much she writes, do you believe this? U'mistaba delek afilu achas shetis ratza bezeh. There's no woman in the world. So therefore, he says we should not require a get, and in point of fact, she is muteres linase without a get. Again, if you can't get a get from the husband, if you can find a get, if you can't, then ein la'agna v'yesh la'atira mitam kidushay tos. Rav Moshe's Shuvah Aleph Ayin Tes, as summarized over here in Os Yud Zayin. But there are those, as I said to you before, who disagree with Rav Moshe. Some do agree. Forgive me for going a little bit past the time. We started very late, so I hope you don't mind. We'll go a little bit past. But ma'achrim lovo, ma'achrim lotzes. Someone has to leave for something. I'm moichel b'leiv shalom. But we started very late. So over here, he quotes Rav Henkin in what's called Pirushe Ivra, lo matzaru b'gemor v'poskim, to be mevatel kiddushka to the woman and the man. No such thing. We don't find anywhere. What about Gvuras Hanashim, right? Yeah. He says all the poskim talk about is forcing him to divorce her. No one said it's no kiddushin. And Rav Henkin writes, Uberuba mashma shahaya kach metchila. That's a chiddush. Rav Henkin is assuming that in most cases, the man who has no Gvuras Hanashim, we can say for a fact that he had this condition from earlier, from before the marriage. So that puts you into a serious problem. That's Rav Henkin on that side of the ledger. On the other side of the ledger, quotes the Badatz of London, which was led by Rabbi Cheskel Abramsky. Anyone know who that is? Who ever heard of Rabbi Cheskel Abramsky? What's the name of his famous svarim? Chazon Yecheskel. I was privileged to have met Rabbi Cheskel Abramsky Besof Yomav. He lived in Bayit Vegan. He used to give a shiur every week in Kol Torah. I once went to hear his shiur. His son was walking with him. He's a very regal bearing. Rabbi Cheskel Abramsky, they say, from Reb Chaim. Reb Chaim said about him that, you know, don't take this out of context, that he has the bearing and of course, most importantly, the wisdom and Yirat Shemayim, that he could be a Mashiach. In today's days, we have to be very careful what we say about Mashiach. But at that time, Reb Chaim was trying to say what a great man he was. He was taken prisoner by the communists. And there's a famous story about him. They thought he would never get out. They tried to get him out. Nothing would happen. The Chofetz Chaim, Beruach Kotsho, one fine day, nothing was going on. He was sitting around with his Talmidim. Started to dance and to sing. They bring me a L'chaim, bring me a Mashke, bring me a K-k-k-k. No one said, why? Because he saw Beruach Kotsho, that somehow Rabbi Cheskel Abramsky was released from the communists. Wow. It means he was a godel but Torah, obviously, in the Chofetz Chaim's lifetime. Chofetz Chaim was Nifter in 1933. When he got out, he went to London. He was the head of the Badatz for some 20 years. I think it was mandatory retirement, if I'm not mistaken, and to work for the government of England, which is, I think, you were a government employee. So Reb Cheskel did not just sit on his hands. He moved to Yerushalayim, to Bayit Vegan. He became the head of the Vada Yeshivas, and he wrote a svarim. And when I saw him, we're talking about 1967. That's when I saw him. He was already, you know, 15 years already retired from his chief rabbin. He's probably a man probably approaching 90. I don't know exactly how old he was at the time. I mean, it was the time of Reb Chaim. Reb Chaim was Nifter in 1918. He was already, he must have been born in sometime in the not the very last, very, very end of the 19th century. Whatever, I'm not exactly sure if we can find his birthday. So he was the head of the Badat, and he wrote a tshuva about such a case of Ein Lo Gvuras Hanashim, which is found over here in page 226. The tshuva of the Bezdin of London, which Rabbi Cheskel Abramsky wrote, but he's troubled by a Tosfos. And I'm also troubled. I never paid. This I put on the Ma'amakos. So now let's turn to Masechta Yevamos, Rabbi Osai, Samach Hei Amud Beis. Please turn to Samach Hei Amud Beis. It's a very serious matter. And I will try to ask your help, the help of all the Tamidim, to try to find a way how to explain this Tosfos, that it shouldn't be against the Yesod of Rav Moshe and many others who want to be mad at such a woman. Rabbi Cheskel Abramsky was bothered by a Tosfos. Samach Hei Amud Beis and Masechta Yevamos. I assume those of you who saw the Maror HaMakomos saw it by now. And perhaps you already are into which line of the Tosfos is bothering us. Samach Hei Amud Beis. Ki ho vadai kafinon. What's the case? The case is as follows, Rabbi Osai. A woman comes to Beis Din seeking a divorce. This is towards the bottom of Samach Hei Amud Beis. Okay? And what does she want? She says as follows. She comes to the Beis Din, and she says, my husband is unable to have children. So they say, so what? You're not chayvin pruribu. Moses says, she's bo machmas taina. What does it mean, bo machmas taina? She has a taina, has a claim. That's a term of art. Bo machmas taina. What is her taina? What does she want? She's not obligated to fulfill pruribu. Very poignant, Rabbosai. Very poignant. What is she asking for? What does she want? She wants, take a look, Rabbosai, about 6 lines up in Samachem and Beis. She wants Hakitasa Chutra Liyada Umara Lekvura. Very, very sad. She wants a stick to hold her hand when she gets old. Right? Rashi. Chutra Liyada Eitz. Shetishoin Olav Le'ezik Nasa. V'yim Tomus. And when she dies, Yikberena. She wants a son. Because she wants a son. Not because she's chayv and puravu. It's the emotional need for a son. I mean, she wants a son. She wants to bring up a son. Everyone wants to have children. Who's going to take care of her in her old age? She can lean on him and he'll help me bury her. Whoa, very poignant. So then Kaifina. So you force him to divorce her if it's clear that he's the one that she can't have children from. And she'll have children presumably from her second husband. Okay. Says Tosis, Rabbosai. Take a look over here. I'm not reading the entire Tosis. Part of the Tosis. Tshuva acha sheposak ritzvo. It's about 12 narrow lines up. Al isha shehoisa to'enas al baila ki ein la'ish givuroso. He has no givuroso nashim. He's incapable of a ma'isa biyah. V'ya isha yato'en ki ha'yolo givuroso nashim. He does. He's perfectly capable physically. So why is there no biyah? Achi bo'etes. She kicks him. V'goremes she'en yochol livol. She keeps kicking. He gets close. She's kicking him. So this is the classical case. Well, what do we call today? He says, she says. This is the ultimate he says, she says. There's no one else there. And now what do you do? Delo mehemna mid the Rav HaMenuna. Who is Rav HaMenuna? What did Rav HaMenuna say? What did he say? Rav HaMenuna says that a woman wouldn't have the chutzpah to lie about these matters in front of Beis Din when a husband is sitting there. No, he says. Kevon shoysa tovas ksuba. For money, people will have plenty of chutzpah. Okay. That's the case where he says, she says. What if they agree? Here's our problem. This next few lines. Vehecha shehoda habal shein yochol livo. The Ritzvah is the case. Nebuch, she says, she comes to Beis Din, the husband has no ability. He says, you're right. I admit it. It's true. Not my fault. I didn't do anything bad. I'm not immoral. I can't do it. Pasach the Tzarech get. Oh, here's the problem, Rabbosai. Becheskel Abramsky as Sakasha, it's enough in a Tosfos that she requires a get, even in the case of what? Of Ein Lo Gvuras Hanashim. So it's against the Chorot, against her Moshe's Tshuva, against her Abramsky's Tshuva, against all those Tshuvas which seem to want to be lenient in the case of a man who cannot do a Maisa Bia. Gvalt! Answers Rabbi Cheskel Abramsky with the following answer. Hocha b'mai askina, where she knew about it from before. How did she know about it from before? Because he knew about it from before. I guess, these are sensitive personal matters. Sensitive personal matters. A person who was unable to have the physical manifestations which allow a bia to take place, and he's 21 years old, and he never had the experience, I could easily imagine that he doesn't know what he's missing. He doesn't know what he's missing. Right? Healthy males, Baruch Hashem, this rule, every male is healthy. So, you can figure out a little on your own without looking even into the scientific books. A person figures out a little bit what's involved in a Maisa Biyah, He learns in the Svarim. I'm assuming he doesn't read any of the garbage or even some of the scientific literature, which is clean. He can look about it in Svarim HaKadoshim, Shas. We talk about Kishui, we talk about Otso Azera. A person who's healthy and has a general idea of what's involved in a Maisa Bia. But a person who's not healthy, he doesn't know what the words mean. He doesn't know that he's missing something. Right? So it could be that he didn't even know. No, this guy, he figured out that something's wrong, and he went to a urologist. And the urologist said to the guy, "I'm sorry to bring you the bad news. You are incapable of a Maisa Bia. I'll give you medicines. We'll try Viagra. We'll try, I don't know, whatever. We'll try everything. They get the whole alphabet soup of medicines. Nothing works. So we're sorry to tell this poor 21-year-old guy, I love you very much. You in your life will never be able to have a Maisa Bia." He's crestfallen. He's heartbroken. What's he going to do? So his Rebbe tells him, "Listen, you want to go out? You can go out. But you got to tell the girl of your problem. That's going to be the next topic of disclosure obligation." So he listens to the Rebbe and he gives it. He discloses it to the woman. No possibility of a Maisa Bia. Now, for all we know, Rabbi Oster, we're not going into the science here in this particular case of those days. In today's world, for all we know, he could even maybe have his own child. Right? They have cases these days that they're doing ICSI. I don't know if you know what these sophisticated fertility procedures. Maybe they can recover some of his genetic material. And even the kid doesn't have a Maisa Bia, but he can have his own child with his own DNA. To get back to DNA. So that the woman will be able to have a child. She wants her children to come. She wants her. When a man marries a woman, who marries a man, aside from everything else, you want that person to be to give half the genetic material, aside from your own half, so you'll have a good children. Isn't that what we want? Isn't that such an important thing for us? So she'll have, let's say, I'm constructing a case. She'll have the genetic material. It'll be done scientifically. But the Maisa Bia will not happen. Can't. So Hakab and Mayaskinon, that he told her, and she said, "I want to marry you anyway." Now, maybe we're going to assume that she figured she'll marry him anyway. He'll get better. Either she'll get him better with her whatever. She'll get him all excited. She'll get him better, or he'll take him to doctors and get him better, whatever. And after he doesn't get better, now she wants a divorce. Tzarech liten get uksuba. Why? Kevan she'en yochol klal l'kayim la'ona. He can't do anything. So Rabbi Cheskel Abramsky says, "Hocha b'mayaskinon," in a case in which they both knew about it. He told her in advance. If that's the case, then it's no riot to a case in which she didn't know. Yes, Ben.
She went into that marriage fully knowing. Meaning, well, how could you force the get? Meaning, you know, you say that he can't fulfill Onah, but she's not there from before.
You may recall, very good, you may recall the Mishnah in Masechet Ksubos that we spoke about already. Now, just to refresh your memory, I'll open the Gemara Ksubos one more time. For those who have the Gemara Ksubos, you can open it up again to Perek HaMadir there, just to see for a minute, to answer your question. The Mishnah says, Beferish, Masechet Ksubos, Rabbi Osai, Anav Ayin Zayin Omud Aleph, Amar Rabbi Meir, Afal Pi, the first white line, Afal Pi Shehisnaima, Yecholi Shetomar Svura Isi Shani Yecholo Lekabel, V'Achshav Eini Yecholo Lekabel. So at least according to one opinion in the Mishnah, you can say, "I thought I could handle it, I can't handle it." So that would not be an automatic way that we could not force again. Okay, just giving you an answer to your very good question. Fine. So once again, Rabbi Osai, I'm leaving. I want to end soon. I want the complication in the Tosafot will leave for a different time. I just want to end with what Rav Henkin said. Rav Henkin said like this: even if they both agree to come to Bezdin, she says he can't do a Maisa Bia. He says I can't do a Maisa Bia. We don't believe him. Don't believe him? They both say the same thing. No, we don't believe him. Why? I'll tell you why. Because again, it's found over here in Sifkot Lamed Beis, Os Yud Zayin. I believe it's on page 228. Who he says, we know why we don't believe them? Because they what we call becheskas eishes ish. It was a chazaka in the world that they were married. It was a chazaka, it was a presumption that they were married. Betoras vadai. And they quote over here, Abosai, along the same lines, an even more remarkable tshuva. Goes from page 226 to 7 from the Netziv. Meshiv davach elik dalat simen ayin vav. Again, she claimed he couldn't do a ma'aseh bia. Nothing. Zero. Zero. And she asked for get it, he wouldn't give it to her. Okay? What happened? So he supported them. He was a nice fellow. So she was stuck. Then he died. And a brother was very far away, and we don't know where he is. Not going to do a chalitza. But here there's additional information, Rabosai. Typically, how do we know? Maybe he didn't want to go to a doctor. He didn't want to go to a doctor, whatever. In this case, he died. It was a Chevra Kadisha. And the Chevra Kadisha, they're used to dealing with the dead bodies. They're not deterred by whatever they see. So the Anshe Chevra Kadisha testify that when he did the Tahara, that his genitalia were like an 8-year-old boy. A 3-year-old boy. So in other words, there was some serious. Even in this case, you're both sides. Well, obviously, she was right that they couldn't do a ma'aseh bia. Even in this kind of situation, Rabosai, which is an extreme situation, the Netziv says they're not believed. Because chazaka, eishes ish, soklin ala chazakas. If this woman would have lived with another man, would give them both misa. You can only be believed to force a get, but not to be believed that you don't require a get. What's the difference between one and the other? Because in order to force a get, all you need is that right now he has no gvura sanashin. In order to say there's no need for a get, you have to say that there never was gvura sanashin. It's a much greater leap. More than that, Rabosai, since chachamim u'metakein to believer with respect to forcing him to give her a get, even if she's lying, the get is kosher. What an amazing line. You can find it over here in footnote Samach Beis on page 228. Because once Chachamim Metakan that she's believed and he's forced to give her a get, even if she turns and she's lying, the get is a kosher get. Why? Kofin oso ad sheyomer rotzani. And it was a proper kfiya because Chazal were metakein that she's believed she wouldn't have the chutzpah to lie in this particular situation. This is what it says. This is what it says. And our final point for today. The final point, Rabosai, is on that same Mishnah that I just quoted. It's the same exact Mishnah. On that Ayin Zayin Oman Aleph, Rabosai, a line which is a very big problem, a line. I'm just going to give you the answer. We'll stop the shiur. The line in Ayin Zayin Oman Aleph in the Mishnah, we talked about whether she can say, I thought I could be Makabel, I'm not Makabel. We just saw that Machlokas. Rameir and the Chacham. The Ran has a Machlokas, which we saw in Shiel last week. What's the case? Where she saw the Mum and there was no Tanai? Some say she's Makabel Bal Korcha. That's the sheet of the Ramah. If that's the case, the Resha, when you force him to divorce her, it's clear that she did not know about it. It's clear that she did not know about it, according to that opinion. And the question that becomes, if she did not know about it, then why in the world do we say you force him to give her a get? According to Rav Moshe and the others, in this kind of the Rav David al-Karlina, we should say that no get is required. What a great question. So the answer to this question is based on a single word, Rav Osai. On a single word. What is the word? If you look in the last narrow line on the Mishnah in Zayin Amud Aleph, it says, "Bein shahoyu achalo nisu, ubein misha nisu noldu." Whether it came before the nisuin or after the nisuin. So the answer given by a sefer called the Evan Yekara, as well as by the Sri Yesh, Bichur Yaakov Weinberg Zichrono Livracha. It's the same answer. We're referring to a case that she knew, Rabosai, that it existed before the Nisuin. So according to that opinion in the Ran, even in that case, you force a get, but you require a get. But we are not sure that this woman was there before the Kiddushin. Why did they choose Nisuin? She was at Kiddushin. Not Rabbi. The answer is, if it's, we don't know, is it before the Kiddushin? Had we known that such a major woman was there before the Kiddushin, you wouldn't even require a get. Yeah, before the Nisuin, maybe after the Kiddushin, then a get is required, even if we can force the husband and she didn't know about it. Rabbi Osei, I'm sorry I went a little bit late. We'll stop here. Emir Tashem, tomorrow, Shir, we will continue with these very important matters, using Rabbi Moshe's Shuvah about a Shota and other difficult situations. When is Kiddushin Tos? And then we'll move into the issue of disclosure, B'siyata D'Shmaya.